Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 632. It's the 8th of November, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Simon Robinson, CEO of YOLO Leisure and Technology. Ticker YOLO talks about yesterday's fundraise and investment in Electric Jukebox. Plus, I also have Amit Ben-Haim, CEO of CloudTag, CTAG, answering private investor questions after that RNS last night that took the share price down today. At one point, it was down 40%. I think it's bounced back a bit, around about 20% down. But he answers the questions they submitted. We didn't have a lot of time, so there's only about five or six questions there. But I did put them on Vox Market, so you can see the questions there. Also, small cap commentator Doc Holliday talks about market mechanics and covers the following stocks: CloudTag, Metal Tiger, Chariot Gold, EVR Holdings, EKH Diagnostics, and Less Energy, and more. Plus, today's suggested one for your watch list. Now, this is from me. Every week I do an audio summary of my blog from the weekend from my mate Steve. Steve listens to the podcast, but he doesn't read. He can't read. So he said, why don't you put it in audio form? He can't read, but he's trying. I gave him a book once, a book to read. It took him a year, and he got halfway through it. And it was on his favourite subject, pretty much. So anyway, this is for Steve and other people who are interested in Asia Met. It's, you can read my full blog if you want the link to it, but also this is the audio version. Plus, I also have, as always, top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and the top three most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Now, I've got to say, the number one most liked RNS was also the most disliked RNS. So I'll cover that in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of YOLO, YOLO Leisure and Technology. It's Simon Robinson. Simon, thanks for coming back on.
Justin, great to speak to you again. Very nice to be with you. Thank you.
I guess you were a busy boy yesterday, were you?
Yeah, really exciting day. Very, very exciting day. It's a deal we've been working on for a little while now. So very pleased to announce it and to get it out there and communicate to the market what we've been doing.
Yeah, well, we'll go through the deal, all the bits and details of it in a bit. First of all, for people not aware who didn't hear the podcast last time or have not read my blog, I mean, I blogged about you about 5 weeks back saying very interesting board year, very interesting things going on, I think. And I didn't foresee, obviously, this happening, but it adds even more excitement. Can you explain what YOLO is all about, please, Simon?
Yes, Justin. So I mean, we've got four different investments that we're positioned as an investment vehicle. We've got SimpleStream, we've got TV Player, we've got an investment in Gfinity and an investment also in Audioboom as well. So all disruptive technology businesses, so the private ones, we're looking at how we can develop those as well. So we've got some very interesting stuff going on with both SimpleStream and TV Player in the media space, technology space, but that's what we do with YOLO. And obviously what we've now invested into through a convertible loan is we've invested into a company called Magic Media Works, which is basically a British business, technology business, but that's focusing in on the music streaming sector.
Yeah, so you've got two sort of listed companies you invest in. And the reason why I looked at you is because I had an investment in Audioboom, so I just naturally followed there the story through. And Gfinity had results out today, I think, up by sort of almost 58%, I think it was, which is improving. And obviously, there's two private companies here, Magic Works, which is Electric Jukebox, and, of course, SimpleStream TV Player, also doing very well. And yes, I looked at them. So let's go through this deal, though, the Electric Jukebox. Now, I didn't realize Rob Lewis, who's the founder and CEO of Magic Media, he's well connected, isn't he?
He is, and that was actually one of the main reasons why we were interested in the deal. So we like Rob. He's got a very impressive track record. He knows the technology space well. He knows the music industry well. Anyone that's been able to pull off deals with the likes of Universal, Warner, the Sony Group, as well as the Merlin, all the different music publishers, obviously has to be well connected and know that space really well. But he's also got a very impressive founding team with him as well. So it's a business ready to go. And obviously we've helped them, really just go for it now and get the product out into the retailers ready for Christmas. But very, very impressive individual.
Yeah, that's one of the things that struck me. First and foremost, you can see the video, or the video of it's Sheryl Crow explaining how electric jukebox works. So there's a big name there. Then you've got Robbie Williams involved, Stephen Fry involved, Alicia Dixon involved. And I thought they're all sort of shareholders now. So I hold shares in Yolo. So, okay, I'm rubbing shoulders with the showbiz here. But also, you're right, his board there, phenomenal. I mean, you've got Alan Levy, or whatever is Alan Levy, CEO of EMI. You've got Paul McGuinness, previously manager of U2. You can read this, but phenomenal contacts there. So can you explain exactly what electric jukebox is all about, please, Simon?
Sure. So, but basically, the concept behind it is only, and looking at the UK, but it applies across the world, actually, only 90% of people are streaming music at this moment in time, which seems phenomenal in terms of how that momentum seems. We all think it's changing, but there's still a lot of people that are listening to music through the radio. Still a lot of people, I think it's about 52%. And then you've still got a lot of people that are using CDs and hi-fis, and only 10% are streaming. So what the Electric Jukebox and Magic Works media team have basically built is a product that allows people to transform their televisions into a music jukebox, basically. So you can listen to all the music in the world. You get a premium catalog, and you can listen to it through your TV. You can connect it to different devices as well. So it becomes quite a different experience, and it's much more sociable in terms of how it's done. And that's why the likes of those celebrities you just mentioned have been keen to get involved with it. It's different. It's about sharing. It's about having fun. But I think it's a really interesting proposition, and I think as well, Justin, it's the first of other products. They've got a few other products that they're looking at as well. So it's diversifying the portfolio. But I think there's a lot of people, coming back to your question, a lot of people out there that aren't necessarily as connected with technology as other people would like them or think they would be, and this basically takes some of that complexity away. It's a plug and play product. You basically plug it in, and typically within a couple of minutes you've got all of that music that you can listen to through your television.
Yeah, do you know what? And it's aesthetically, it looks very nice. The kit itself does look very nice. And part of me, when I first saw it, I thought, this wouldn't be out of place in an Apple store. You know, it's that kind of design, very clean, isn't it? Smooth design. And like I said, very simple to use. And I think Rob said he got the idea because his parents didn't know how to listen to some music. They couldn't stream or anything. So he wanted to make a foolproof guide for a little bit of kit that they could plug in and play and away to go. Is that the case?
Absolutely. That's a great point, because I think what we, you know, you have to make judgments early on in these things in terms of whether you take them forward or not. Everything that we've seen about what the electric jukebox does and what Rob and his team have done, there's good quality. The design, the functionality, and it's very cleverly designed. So it's something that would sit very comfortably in someone's lounge or in the kitchen or wherever you want to plug it in, whichever room the television is going to be in. But it does look great, and it's very, very easy to use. That's the simple thing. It's voice activated, or you can use it as a wand to connect with your TV as well.
Yeah, and like you said, one of the reasons why they have other products. Are you allowed to mention those products or what?
Well, it's probably too early to say that for us to go into detail on that. But other than to say there is some design concepts that they've got, and they're ready to go into production later next year.
Okay, so if someone wants to look at this, they can go to just type in Google Electric Jukebox, they can see the product. Where is it for sale? When is it for sale? How much is it, etc.?
So that was another important part in terms of understanding their distribution. So obviously they can sell it through their own website. But they've got relationships with Amazon Launchpad. So it's available on Amazon, Argos, Selfridges, and also QVC. I think it's a very interesting product to be able to retail on QVC because it showcases really well. And I think that's just from a UK perspective. Once they start to roll out internationally, obviously QVC is a big distributor in the US as well, likewise Amazon. So there are lots of other retailers that are being the team are in discussions with.
Yeah, and I noticed you said that you had back in here, you raised £2.5 million pounds there. So what was it? On the breakdown of that, it's not all going into electric jukebox, is it?
No, it's not. So we the way we've structured the deal, we want to keep our options open, so and make sure that we're doing the right thing for shareholders. So we've basically put in a convertible loan of 1.4 million of the 2.5 million that we've raised, and then we'll continue to monitor that and look at that, but also look at some of the other investments that we have as well.
And that, just to be sure, so when people hear convertible loans, they think, oh, no, but obviously that's interest paid to you, isn't it? Is it 10% per annum? Is it, I think? What
that's right. That's right. That's all in the RNS, Justin. But it's a secured loan and with interest at that level that you've said. Yeah. So that's all taken care of.
And it must be nice that you've got backing from some major shareholders. I mean, Nigel Ray is in there again, isn't he?
Yes, he is, and as I said to you last time, he's been very, very supportive, and you know he wants to back good businesses, good management teams that have got vision, but good operational execution as well. So I'm delighted that he's been a strong partner for us.
So what's your vision here? I'm obviously, as much as you can say, because certain things are confidential, if you have in your mind, you can't say it unless an RNS is released. But what's your vision here, Simon, for Yolo?
Well, obviously, we want to be successful, and we want to give a good return to our shareholders. And we want to have products that customers enjoy using, that they engage with, and that they value. So that's, you know, and if we get that combination right, that's where we'll be able to generate value for our shareholders.
Yeah, yeah. I see there's 29 million music tracks ad-free. And so the revenue for this essentially comes from the purchasing of the hardware, is it?
Yeah, so that's another area of differential with it, really. So it's basically the only product that they're aware of that you can go into a retailer and buy without having to take a subscription, without having to pay monthly amounts. You can basically buy this player device at a retailer, and then you get a year's free premium music, giving you access to over 29 million different tracks. I think it's about 2.9 million albums. And then once you've come to that to the end of your first year, and then you've got the option of renewing that for £52 per year. So over time, it becomes a very good value proposition, and it gives other people a different option. And I think it's the kind of product that people that won't be listening to, and it's ad-free. That's ad-free music that the people have got an opportunity to listen to. But over time, it represents some very good value for people as well.
Yeah, and I assume, like you mentioned there, Selfridges, Argos, QVC, and Amazon there. But, you know, the companies involved here, Universal Music, Sony Music, and Warner Music, are global brands, you know. So is this rolling out across the world? Or
it will, Justin. So so the intention is, the plan is that we focus on the UK for Christmas, and then looking at the US Q2 of next year, and then they've got other markets that they're considering and that have plans for as well that I progress with conversations on.
Okay, all right. And as far as, you know, you said marketing this, I mean, there's certain places you can market it. I mean, QVC and all that, and Argos and stuff. But and are there, I mean, do you know about this? I don't know if you know. You know, obviously this is electric jukeboxes side of the deal. But their marketing and everything. How will we see this on TV screens? How will people learn about the greater public learn about this electric jukebox?
Well, I think there's a couple of ways. So I mean, I think they're going to be very smart in terms of how they use social media. And I think when you've got the likes of Robbie Williams and access to his database. So there's things that you can do with that. It's just being very cost effective. They'll learn in terms of their cost per acquisition and the social media that they do. And obviously using they're putting some very targeted TV ads together as well, but it's trying to work within a very lean budget. So it's very cost effective and gives a good return on the investment being made. They've got a very extensive marketing campaign planned.
Marvellous. All right, Simon, it's lovely to chat to you. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see, because they're in the shops now, like I said, for Christmas. Interesting to see the results of sales over Christmas and the next products coming out. But listen, if anyone needs any convincing as to why they should follow you on Vox Markets, and if they do, by the way, they get a RNS straight to the front screen of their smartphone whenever you release one. Could you give us three reasons, Simon, why someone should hit that follow button, please?
Okay, Justin. Well, first one is that we've got a really interesting portfolio of investments, all disruptors and growth businesses that we have within the portfolio already. Second one is with regards to what's going on at this moment in time. We've got a good, strong British technology company that's got good growth ambitions. And the third one is we've got a business that's very diverse and scalable and looking to grow internationally. So very exciting times for Yolo.
Yeah, and you've got cash. So after yesterday, and some significant shareholders, like you said. Simon, thanks for chatting to me, and I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time, Justin. Good to speak to you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of CloudTag, the CTAG ticker. It's Amit Benahim. Thank you for coming back on, Amit.
Good morning, Justin. Thank you for having me as a special guest this AM. I know that it was not scheduled since the RNS.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you allow me just a quick review of the last few days, where I've been, what I've done, and of course, touch base on the RNS or whatever I'm allowed to say.
Yeah, listen, we have some questions, but yeah, go for it,
sure,
and we'll get some questions in a bit.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. So landed at 4 a.m. this morning from Hong Kong after a trip to our Malaysian factory, where not only I could see our production lines, but also our assembly room is kept under positive pressure and security, which means that no dust particulates can settle on our electronics parts, and as well as no parts can be stolen out of the production line, which is very important for our technology, our algorithms and IP. Our Malaysian factory, whilst visiting it last week, also manufactured for one of the largest U.S. Communication hardware company, U.S. medical device companies, amongst others. Some of our team, as I mentioned in the previous RNS, are actually resident at the factory now and watching the production, watching quality assurance, and interacting with the forwarders. Just to mention that our factory is a duty-free industrial zone area, which is 30 minutes from an international airport with a large area for air freight cargo forwarders, such as DHL, UPS, and others. And from there to London is a direct flight of 12 hours, and to the USA East Coast, about 20 hours. So within a day, we are wherever we need to be in our hubs. Then I mentioned I was in Hong Kong as well. So whilst I was in Hong Kong, I met some corporation and financial institutions, obviously more with a Chinese flavor rather than European, as well as crossed the border into China, where I visited Shenzhen, which is one of the largest home for consumer electronics manufacturing, and a home for companies such as Huawei, the Chinese mobile and trackers. I know before you ask the questions, just the 3 or 4 points to recap about the RNS from last night, and of course, whatever I'm allowed to say under the regulation. So, kind of as a caveat, this was the most technical and legalistic RNS we went thus far, and apologies for the length and the depth of the particulars. We have raised £4 million pounds, a new milestone for the company from a reputable US-based financial institution. And I hope this fundraise may even allow us to prevent shareholders' dilution based on the structure. In the last few hours since this RNS came out, I've been actually approached by other financial institutions who wish to enter into discussions for future funding, which could only indicate strong belief in the underlying strength of our market proposition. However, I don't see any kind of immediate need. We have secured £880,000 worth of orders. That's a very important to mention amongst the clutter. Bev, our sales director, is maximizing his previous network of retailers and e-tailers and rounding him up for more orders for 2016 and further. And as advised, the company will issue, as soon as it is practical, a circular, which will be a very in-depth commercial and operational update, where we will obviously talking about the US market, both the B2C and the B2B, amongst other topics. So this is very much kind of, the recap of what I've done in the last few days and last night's RNS.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for coming on at short notice, because that RNS was the reason why we had a lot of demand for you to come on the podcast. And like you said, the share price dropped. It's bounced a bit, but at one point it was down 40%. It's now down 22%. And these are the questions that came off the back of that. We only had a short space of time to get the questions through.
Sure.
But here are the ones we've got. So first one, I am somewhat concerned by the recent RNS, specifically regarding the lack of firm orders. What is our strategy going forward? Is it a focus on B2C or B2B or other? And ultimately, will we have a product available to buy before year end? Thank you.
Multi question with many draws. So number one, if I remember, there are firm orders. They are depending on our delivery dates, which obviously we are keeping that very much under wraps. I think that's very clear. The orders are in written formats, obviously, and it is up to us now to send the products to wherever we need to send the products. Number two, we are B2C, as we mentioned, so there's no change in the focus. We mentioned e-tailers, retailers, and there's no difference whatsoever for what we have mentioned in the past in RNS as to where we are to date. On the contrary, actually in a stronger position today than we were, say, for example, in August or July. B2B is a very important part for us, and we are following it. And one of the reasons that I have brought Yuval, who is the Chief Business Development Officer of the company, is to help me to develop that side. Focus on the United States, although there are some discussion in Europe. And thirdly, and but not less important, products on the shelf for the end of this year. This is something that I cannot disclose, as I mentioned before. I hope in the circular we will be in a position to shed light on the timing of release of product to the market.
Okay, and when is the circular going out, Ali?
Well, again, this is something that I cannot disclose as soon as practical.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can say. But it is in our interest, obviously, to send the circular out.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was a concern about the orders, because at one point it says CloudTag has received an indicative non-binding purchase order for 880,000. Then below, in the paragraph below, it says, whilst no firm purchase orders have been yet received from SC. So you have got orders. Is that the case?
Indeed it is. And as I said before, you know, this is the most technical and legalistic RNS we've ever been through. Okay. Can't say more than that.
Okay, all right. So next one is question is Creed the institutional investor being referred to on Tuesday's RNS?
Nope.
Okay, next one is, are we actually going to market? Why hasn't the website been redesigned or added to in the 9 months? It looks redundant and reinforced the idea that no NDAs were in place for a takeover or buyout.
We are in a competitive market landscape. It is my decision with my team to decide when to surprise the market, whatever we want to surprise the market. It's very tempting to shout out new ideas, but we're very streamlined, very focused on what we want to achieve in order to get the maximum wow effect and positive response from the market on what we've been doing and working. Please remember that I have brought Pete, who is the Chief Creative Officer of the company, from Microsoft Nokia. He brought with him a huge amount of people, all ex-Nokia Microsoft. They do know what they're doing. I do know what we're trying to achieve, and it will be done.
Okay.
NDAs, I don't know where the reader would find about NDA signed. I mean, since when a company will publish an NDA, if it's signed or not, I cannot go into that answer or question.
Okay, all right. The next one is about, it says states you have no purchase orders, but you just said you have orders there. So next question was, why have you used a Death Spiral Finance? Who is the provider and why have you kept their name hidden?
In all our previous RNSs, it's normal and it is within the line of the regulations that the name of the financial institution or the investor is not provided. The financial institution is a very reputable one. It's no spiral death or any of those kind of ideas. It's a straightforward the issuing of convertible loan notes, zero coupon, and funds upfront on the timescale as was discussed. So I would have never gone to any of the providers that will do any harm either to the company and its shareholders. And as you can see from the past, I have no shortage of investors coming up. Of course, 4.5 million is a different ball game, with different numbers of top 10 legal firm involved in the draftings. So it took some time to come to where we came yesterday.
Yeah. And so what? So whose decision is it to keep the name of the investor quiet? Is it yourself or theirs, or is it an agreement between both of you?
It is in line with the market regulations.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Straightforward answer.
Yeah. All right. And the last question here, like I said, we only have a few minutes to get these questions in. If you redesigned the track, why have you got no pictures? It's our only product to market at the moment, but we don't know what it now looks like. So, are you intending to put some pictures out there?
As I mentioned to the in my previous answer to another reader of yours, we will keep our powder dry until the time is right for us to release everything to the market. Trust me, we have the best interest to tell the public, because they are, at the end of the day, going to be our customers. So it's no secret society, but the timing is absolutely right for me to decide.
All right, marvellous. Amit, thanks for coming on. Short notice, off the back of a long flight as well from Hong Kong. Thank you for that. Much appreciated.
No,
and one more thing I need you to do, yes. Amit, and you're quite good at this, I think. You have been on previous occasions. So three reasons why someone should follow CloudTag on... And you are the most followed company, by the way, on Vox Markets website. But give three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on the site there.
Well, number one, today is obviously changed from the number one last time we spoke because of the share price that came down, although I'm not allowed to kind of personally to comment about share price. I've seen people saying that perhaps this is the last opportunity to get some shares on the cheap. Perhaps, I'm not so sure. I cannot pass any kind of, you know, comments. We are the only wearables with real technology behind a company listed on AIM. We are cutting edge technology, and we have products to hit both B2C and B2B markets in Europe and the United States to start with.
Marvelous. Amit, thanks very much for coming on, and look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Thank you, Justin. Have a nice day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wayne.
And joining me on the podcast right now, it's small cap commentator, blogger, podcaster. He's over it all. It's Doc Holliday. All right, fella.
Hi, mate. How are you today?
I'm all right, yes. It's going to be a busy podcast today. I know you spoke to the guy from Yolo yesterday. He's on the podcast today. Also, CloudTag CEO is on today. And, of course, yourself there. So, but what are you looking at? What's tickling your fancy in the markets at the moment?
Slot straight in amongst some of the most popular stories of the day. Look, you know, there's a lot of emotions spilling out into the markets today. I've obviously noted through certain commentary that there's quite a lot of discontent over certain events. There's a lot of excitement about companies that have sort of got new investments. And there seems to be a lot of squabbling. And I think one of the primary sort of focuses that we need to remember as investors in the market is that we focus predominantly on trying to find opportunity to make gains, whether that be from weakness, strength, whether that be from keeping your powder dry because you believe that some of the events within the macro picture are going to have an adverse effect on the markets, or particularly the junior markets if you're an investor down here. But we've got to be conscious about what we're doing. At the minute, I sort of see these almost primate reactions to certain posts or certain bits of interaction or opinion that people may have. I've passed comments on companies like Metal Tiger, I've passed comments on CloudTag, I've passed comments on Yolo or Tulu or EVRH. And these companies are companies that I've either held or I don't held or I've got an opinion on. We've just got to be careful that we're not ramming it down people's throats. I've had a couple of people say to me recently, you've been tough on Metal Tiger, it's like consistently tough on them. And I said, well, you know, I consistently have never found the answers to questions that I was asking at 4, 5, and 6p. But ultimately, I don't want to see people, hardworking folks who are sitting in work, who are coming home and looking at their accounts, to be sitting on losses and deficits. So if my comments in that sort of area seems to be personal, then I can only apologise, because that isn't the case. I put some commentary out on CloudTag. I think, you know, you look at that piece of news that's come out today, and I know it's popular, so we'll just, you know, skate across it. If there were any delays, I warned that this would potentially happen. Having said that, if there weren't delays, if there was some, you know, whiff of positivity on that, it had all of the momentum to take it from 20p to 30p. But the reality investing on AIM is it just doesn't go the way that you expect. And you've got to protect your capital. I myself, taking shares in Andalas Energy, I now sit on a loss. That's my own stupidity. But, you know, back in the early days, I was scaling back some off and I was taking some profits, and I do that consistently. There's always things going to bite you on the backside. We've heard from New World Oil last week. That's unlikely to get back to market. I'm going to have to take my medicine on that one, as will many other shareholders, disappointing as it may be. But again, you know, there was a great deal of opportunity on the build up to this. So the primary focus here is to try and shut out that noise, protect your capital and stay in the game, whether it be excitement, disappointment. You've got to try and sort of blend that out, smooth it out, and try and take the emotion out of what you're doing in the market, in order to be able to sit down and look at where opportunities may or may not be.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Like I said, for all the chatter and the ramping and deramping that goes on Twitter, at the end of the day, the ultimate judge of your investment is the share price. And so that you have no control over that, essentially. You know, little control whatsoever over it, tiny bit. And so the only control you have, like you said, you know, is the money you put into it, the risk you take on board. You can control the risk, you know. And at the end of the day, it's no point sort of being, I think, blindly deluded about a company. You've just got to realise, be overhead. People praise and bend down sometimes a share or CEO, and they think, you know, oh, this is going to be fine. I trust in this person or that stock or this stock. But ultimately, look after your money, you know? That's what you have to do, and mitigate your risk in some way. Don't put everything into one stock, because, you know, even with the best product out there, it may go wrong, you know? Even the best resource or asset out there, it may go wrong. So you've got to always, haven't you, be prepared to take a hammering, and never, like I try not to, you know, expose myself 10%, you know, 15% maximum in any one stock, and that's a big for me, because I realise it can go all wrong, you know, it can go wrong, and it's nobody's, you can't blame people then, because you bought it, and so at the end of the day, all you can do is cover your risk, you know, you can't control the market, can we, you know?
No, absolutely not, and you know, I try and find sort of layman, you know, likely synergies or likelinesses that exist. And now I started to watch this series with Dan Snow, the Gold Rush, and how people, you know, got down to the mining regions within, is it Alaska or wherever it was, the Klondike. And you know, you actually look at that whole sort of getting from A to B and how all of that would have unfolded, you know, hundreds of years ago. And you look at the markets today, there's a white water rapid you've got to get through. There's a boat which is made of sort of very modest materials. And, you know, you've got the weather and all of these different aspects. Before you actually put the pan in the river, you've got so many different variables of what can happen. The market is a complex place, and it's designed, you know, to take our cash ultimately. More people lose than make. The vast majority of people who are successful consistently in this market are people who are a very small number, and the vast majority are going to lose when they're investing down at these levels. If you've got that in your mind, you've got to really then take quite a defensive, you know, sort of strategy. We've had a good summer. The markets have been quite rewarding for lots of people, and I think we're starting to now see the reality of it. I think there's some great opportunities. I think if I was looking now at stocks, I'd be looking at ones that perhaps people aren't talking about. And I've talked about a couple of them in brief. I looked today at Charac Gold, a company that I talked about with you, talked about on TV with Zach. I've talked about through the year, not in any great sort of shakes. There was no interest from anybody out there. One guy, when I went to Momentous Events, come up to me and said, I bought this at a better price than you, and I think he paid 6p, and I paid a little bit more. I think it was about 6¾, something like that. And he came up to me and he said, I'm made up, I bought this stock, and I bought it, you know, cheaper than you. So he was really pleased with that. And that it had made some decent returns at sort of 9p, I think, that area at the time. It's 12p today, 12 or 13p, and it's done really well. EKF Diagnostics, another company that I spoke to you about off record, but I'd spoke to Zach about on Tip TV. You know, you look at that 70-80% up. So these companies that don't have the attention of perhaps all of the noise and the commentary, they can still go on and do particularly well. So if I was sitting there today at home looking for some, you know, opportunity, I would go and look at companies where folks are either exasperated, but you can see that they've got enough cash to continue, and there's very little commentary, or a sort of area that you think is going to do well, whether it's going to be an oil and gas recovery, whether it's going to be, you know, copper, whether it's going to be, you know, and that those types of investments is what, you know, things I would look at. So companies that, you know, I've already invested in and haven't done particularly well, I maintain to hold for that reason. Ariane Silver, you know, the silver market's done particularly well. The company had £1 million, I think, at the last set of accounts. Investors are highly frustrated. Almost nobody's interested in commentating on it now. The shares are at spot 60. Would not surprise me to see that go back to 1p, 1.5p. And at which point, you know, there's a great gain to be made. And there's a whole, there's tens of dozens of these companies that have got cash that are in pretty good fettle or potentially could be rewarding. That's where I'd be looking now. Not necessarily Ariane, but those type companies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I say, you know, on this podcast, I mean, you get investment ideas. Not every idea is good. Some can be amazing. Some can be disastrous. So it's up to people to do their own research and then apply the risks, you know, and exposure rules to that. All right, Doc. Thank you very much, fella, and speak soon.
Just apologies if it's not too specific today, but I think it's just more trying to get a general theme of what's going on, because you've got two companies on today, one which I think is extremely exciting at the bottom of the cycle, probably going to do really, really well, and one that's been way up on the cycle, that's taken a little bit of a bump on its head today. Nothing to say it can't come back from it. There's a lot that needs to be known, and there's naturally a lot of, you know, noise out in the market, and I think at this point investors have just got to take a step back, take a breath, and just try and, you know, simmer down a little bit. There's far too much sort of emotion spilling out at the moment.
All right, lovely. Thanks, Doc. Speak soon, fella.
Take it easy, buddy. Bye.
Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list is Asia Met Resources, ticker ARTH. And like I said, it's an audio summary of my blog post from the weekend. Every weekend I write a blog post about a stock that I hold that I think you should put on your watch list. Like I said, listen, everything on this podcast is an idea. Don't invest solely based on what you hear. Please do your own research. I can't stress that enough. These are just investment ideas we put out there, you know. They may be fantastic. They may not be. That's up to you to decide. So Asia Met, what does the company do? It's a junior company focused on the exploration and development of its portfolio of large copper-gold deposits in the Indonesian islands of Kalimantan and Sumatra, adjacent to the key growth markets in Asia. They have 622 million shares in issue. Share price is 2.275 pence, 14 million market cap. No revenue at the moment. They're an exploration company at present. They intend to go into production, though. And as stated in their half-year results to 30th of June, they'd made a loss of $808,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? No debt, but in their half-year results, they had $1.96 million in cash. So, three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. This is a summary of my blog, of course. You can read more there. And number one, they will need to raise more funds over the next 12 months to permit, construct, and bring the BKM mine into production. That's their most advanced project at the moment. They have three assets there. This is BKM. The next one, Butong, is about three to four times the size of this. But this is the first and foremost. Now, listen, past placings they've done have never been at a great discount to the current share price. Their last placing was on the 22nd of April 2016, when they raised $1.5 million at 3.1 pence. The share price on that day, 3.2 pence. The previous fundraise to this on the 30th of October 2015, where they raised 1 million at 1.4 pence. The share price on that day was 1.45 pence. You can see, very respectful of shareholders, as Tony himself, Manini, the CEO, is a shareholder. Reason two, they have three assets, all copper and gold, but BKM is the first mine they intend to bring into production. On the 5th of April 2016, they published their preliminary economic assessment, or PEA, for BKM. Their after-tax net cash flow, including royalties, will be $387.5 million. So if you divide this by 8, which is the initial life of the mine, this works out an average of $48.4 million worth of free cash flow every year. Like I said, their market cap now of 14 million. The life of mine and the life of mine in all operating costs are just 1.49 per pound US pound copper. Even at today's historically low copper prices, this mine could still operate profitably. They're also in the middle of upgrades on the size of the resource at BKM, and there's significant potential for additional mineralization close to BKM. In their latest drilling and production report on October 12th, they completed 45 drill holes at 4,500 metres out of a planned 73 drill holes at 6,500 metres. So just to put this in context, on the 7th of July, 3 months after the preliminary economic assessment was published, they'd only completed 13 holes at 1,585 metres. Now they're up to 45 holes. 4,500, they intend to get to 73 hills at 6,500 metres. So the annual cash free flow stated above there at 48.4 million, as stated in their PEA, even though impressive, could soon be surpassed. And they're looking to get a mine life of 10 years plus on this, and that's why they're drilling further. So this could be upgraded. And number three, reason three, Tony Manini and management have a track record of taking small exploration assets through development into production. A good example of this is with Oxiana. Look it up. Tony, along with Owen Hegarty, pioneered the entry of establishment of Oxiana in six different countries. They took Oxiana from sub $20 million market cap company in 2000, the year 2000, to a diversified commodity producer, which had a market cap of $6 billion 8 years later, from $20 million to $6 billion within 8 years. And Tony said on the podcast he intends to do the same with Asia Met, or he has that sort of ambition for it. And I've added another point about the shareholders, because I always like to use the acronym CASH when I'm looking at a company. So number four is shareholders, apart from Tony owning a significant amount, they have some strong support on their shareholder register. Asia Pic Group holds 3.37. Asia Pic Group is owned by Bruce Sheng. Apparently he's very well off, but very reclusive. I tried to do some research, there's only two links I could find to him. But suffice to say, I've asked, and he's a very well-off man. Now, another big holder is Namarong Investments. They hold 3.2%. And Namarong Investments is the investment vehicle of Paul Little. Now, you can look him up. He's on Wikipedia. He's an Australian businessman, and he was one of the richest people in Australia, with an estimated net worth of $880 million in 2013. So you can see just two there, the big shareholders, are wealthy, and they have very good connections between Australia and China, etc. So it's worth doing your research on Asia Met Resources there. Like I said, at the moment, 40 million market cap, 2.2 something pence, but good, good board. I believe in Tony's been on the podcast several times. Listen back to some of the interviews I've done with Tony. Very nice guy. I've chatted to him several times, and I believe a genuine guy who, has the potential to deliver on what he's talking about here. But like I said, please do your own research. Do not buy anything based solely on this podcast. It's just an idea. Some ideas don't work out. Some do. Some are phenomenal. Some just fall onto the floor. Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Solar Oil and Gas. At four, on the podcast today, the CEO, Amit. At CloudTag, CTAG. At three, most followed is Redcentric, RCN. At two, it's Sepura, SEPU. And number one most followed company on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours is YOLO Leisure and Technology. On the podcast today, YOLO is the ticker. And these are the top three most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At three, it's Savannah Resources, SAV, initial 3.5 billion tons HMS resource defined. At two, Conceptor, new manufacturing facility in Doncaster. And number one, This was also the most disliked, I've got to say. And the dislikes came in higher than the likes. It was CloudTag, Fundraise and Update, which we talked about on the podcast with Amit there. Don't forget, please, if you see an RS you'd like in the morning, then please hit the thumbs up, thumbs down. And if you haven't got the app, get it. It's free. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/app and you get RNS Assistant sent straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases one. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.